1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Posty, Adele Ford, Moo, Audra Paytor, Ezra Oren, Guinness Day, Amen Top 10 Acoid, put it to own death. Enzo ergo to cure you on dosage. Edon says, Hotin, Oklopos, Hemo, Oop, Estin, Kinos, M, Kinos. Curio, beg your pardon. All right. Now he said, Amen. He is so. Paul said, do not speak in tongues unless there be an interpreter. So, I have an interpreter here this morning, and so if the interpretation is not accurate, I call him director. Hey, Dr. H.P. Hubbard. Incidentally, I think this is one of the great passages of Paul's language to Christian people. That first word, hoste, stolen, and therefore translated in King James Version, because of these things, and on account of this, there's a lot of meaning that's involved in this first word. Brethren, of me, beloved one. I always like that term. The Apostle Paul was a very, very, I think, emotional man. From the reading of the writings of the Apostle Paul, I'm confident that that man's heart just literally was overwhelmed in love. I'm just as sure of that as I'm standing before you. I knew one preacher in my life that was very, very emotional. I hadn't known him more than 15 minutes till I was sitting on his lap. He was hugging me and kissing me. That's the one and only experience that I've had along that line, but he was very, very emotional. He was full of love. Well, now, I use not only as an expression of what I think the Apostle Paul's life was. If you read carefully the teachings of the Apostle Paul, you will find that that man's life just literally superabounded in love. If I can use that kind of term, is that all right, Brother Hubbard? Okay. Now, this next word that you find here, get dry on it, that word means firmly fixed. And I'll give you the next word in order to get the meaning out of this one. Guinness says, that's an imperative, it's a command. Become ye firmly fixed. Now, you never started out in Christian life that way. Most of us were like Reuben in the Old Testament, unstable as water. You remember that one? And a lot of folk remain that way the rest of their lives. Just as unstable as water. The Apostle Paul, under inspiration, commands us to become firmly fixed in life. Now, this is one business. It isn't possible for you to be wishy-washy and ever do any good in this world. You cannot be drifted about by every wind of doctrine and amount to anything. You may find criticism galore on every hand because of a firm stand that you take from a biblical viewpoint, but I'd have 10,000 times rather have the criticism that comes than for it to be said that, well, you never can put your finger on it.
That's right.
Firmly fixed. You're to be firmly fixed in the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't be afraid of doctrine. I hope and pray that this seminary will never get to the place that we can't turn out doctrinal preachers. Fact of the business is that we miss the doctrines of the Bible and the New Testament. We miss everything. And if there's one thing I abhor, it is an individual going out from this seminary only in one line of thinking, and that's evangelistic.
Amen.
And if you go out of this seminary that way, I think we've made a failure as teachers with it.
Amen.
Evangelism in God's Word is a person that has become so thoroughly in indoctrinated in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the apostles, that when he has finished his work with an individual, he leaves a life element and a life product. Now that's evangelism and the Lord's work. Today, preachers want to separate evangelism and doctrinal teaching. Or they say he's an evangelistic preacher. They mean by that he never preaches on baptism, the church, and certificate of the believer, and hell and heaven, and such like. He's a doctrinal preacher. He just loves. Or evangelistic preacher, that way. Now that is a misnomer. You don't find anything like that taught in the scriptures. The most outstanding evangelist that the New Testament ever produced was the Apostle Paul. And the hardest hitting, hardest living, most concentrated individual that's found in the Bible was the Apostle Paul. Now, if you're interested in evangelism, you follow Paul. Forget about this little two-bit stuff that's going around in the world today that call themselves evangelists. Be firmly fixed. How in the world can you make a preacher that's satisfactory to God Almighty if you can't teach on depravity? And how in the world are you going to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ if they don't know where they stand in the first place? Depraved mentally, physically, and spiritually. Separated from God in every fiber of their body, every thought of their mind, everything that's about them, alienated from God. In order to give the kind of message that a lost world needs, they must know where they are naturally, as they're born. You become firmly fixed in the fundamental doctrines of the New Testament and beloved. The Almighty will bless your ministry.
Amen.
And that's the only kind of blessing you need.
Amen.
Any other kind of blessing will be a detriment to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to say that with all 188 pounds, I think it's 88 now, to 30. Become firmly fixed. Now, once again, let me say, you weren't born into the ministry that way. When the Lord called you into the ministry, he didn't call you already fixed in the teachings of the Lord. He called you to one purpose, to become firmly fixed in them. And that's the first word that I wanted to use in this verse. Now that next verse means unmovable, grounded, anchored, stable. Well, you've heard about the irresistible force meeting the unmovable object, haven't you? And what the result was? Well, right here is the immovable object that he calls upon us today. Nothing is more important to your ministerial life than for it to be known everywhere that he's a pillar in the Lord's work. And I didn't say P-I-L-L-O-W either. We got too many preaching preachers in the world.
Amen.
I'm talking about something that has strength. Strength of character. Strength of life. Strength in the Lord. And beloved, that's exactly what God Almighty demands out of me and you as preachers. And preacherettes as well. Unmovable. A person that can be shifted from one side to the other by the last person that talks with him is of no value whatsoever on earth.
Amen.
I may be giving you a little bit of hard language today, but I want it just that way. I'd like for you to go out from this place as a student when you finish your work and be a CMBI booster from top to bottom, from A to Z, from beginning to end, from who laid the chunk, from now on and henceforth. And any other thing that I could ask to them. I hate for preachers to go out from this place and well, so and so talk that, but I don't believe a word of it. You hear me? That's better.
you have anything
to say concerning CMBR, when you get out of here as a student, for goodness sake, give commendation to her because she gave you everything you have.
Amen.
Right. And if you ever amount to anything, it'll be the result of CMBI. Because you don't amount to anything now. And when you get sick, stay there.
Amen.
I like Lawson's sketches of the ancient days. Now, none of you are old enough to know anything about Lawson's sketches, except Brother Hubbard back down here. And he drew one picture about sticking to the bush. Stick to your bush, for goodness sake. Have six purposes in life and work towards those purposes regardless of what takes place, what kinds of building, in spite of hell and high water.
Amen.
Put your mind on the purposes that you have in life for the glory of God and work towards that end.
Amen.
Build towards it. Live towards it. Sleep towards it. Eat towards it. Everything in your being fixed towards one end in life. The glory of God. Now you may get started sometimes on a rope that's off brand. But when you're derailed, for goodness sake, get back on the main track.
Amen.
Have sense enough to know where you're going and go that way. Immovable. I like this next word, and it's a participle. It means to do things beyond the sixth major in life. You hear the common thing, well, I'm as good as the average Christian. I'm just about like the average preacher. Well, the average one ought to be hung up by the toes.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
They're not worth anything to the world. Well, I do my part. I do the average part in so-and-so. Yesterday in conversation, it came up about finances. One person, he always gave a dollar, regardless of what. I was in the home of one of my members one time in Malvern, Arkansas, and he took $4,500 in a permanent stone job that he put around his building, beautifying it. Certainly, it looked lovely. And he showed me his nice bolts that run into the 3,000 mark, and also nice engine that went along with it. Good shotgun that's almost $200. And then a good fishing reel that cost 30-something. And he said, Brother Saxton, I'll tell you right now, the collection tape never passes and I don't put in a dollar. Amen. Hey, now he didn't even hit the fixed measure. Much less going beyond. Now, Paul gives admonition to us as believers to go beyond that which is required. And if we'll go beyond that which is required of ministers, our lives will be worth something to the world.
Amen.
And to God Almighty. Don't get it in your mind, well, Lord, the whole day, Lord, treat me in the future. How are they treat you? That's what they're supposed to do in the world. Did you know that?
Right.
Don't look for anything else. For goodness sake, it's a mistreat you go in.
Yes.
Huh?
Right, amen.
But most of us are too tender-footed, aren't we?
Yes.
We allow the little old things of everyday life to derail us. Why, for goodness sake, don't do that as a preacher first. For the Lord's cause. If you suffer persecution, very little of you suffer persecution, it's usually because of your own low-down maintenance. But if you suffer persecution, the good book says, happy are ye. For great is your reward in heaven. And very little persecution you're going to receive. About all you'll get is the Cold War. Do you get anything else besides that? I've never had a stripe placed on my back for the cause of Christ. I don't know what it is for my blood to flow for Jesus. About the only thing I've ever had a few lies told on me, and part of it is the truth. Just telling me a lie. I don't know what it is to suffer for Jesus' sake. And what little we do have to experience for the Lord isn't a drop in the bucket compared to what Paul underwent for us. Don't be wrong, Lamar. And that word simply means that. And it's a participle. Now, I think it's one of those continuing things, isn't it, Brother Hubbard?
Amen.
Now, how many times should I go beyond the regular mark? One day out of seven? No, 7 days out of seven.
Amen.
How many days should I go beyond that which was required of me every day in the year?
Amen.
How many months should I labor in the cause of Christ? 13 out of every 12.
Amen.
Now that's a figure of speech. You unravel it. Go beyond the regular requirements. In what? In the works of the Lord. And that's exactly what Paul says right here. Go beyond the regular requirements. Well, usually when we feel that our what we think is the regular expectation of us, well, let John do it. Let someone else take that part. For goodness sake, be willing at all times to step in there and take yours and John's also. And when you do, there's going to be a reward that's laid up in store for you at the time when Christ shall meet out his reward. In the work of the Lord, come to it at all times. Say, I like that word, don't you? You talk about drawing word pictures. These pictures that Paul drew here for us, when they stand out, I'm sorry to say it, I won't anyhow. They stand out, don't they? Like the nose on my face. Paul drew these pictures so that we could see them at all times. Not just one day out of the year. You know what? Once in a while we like to brag about this thing that we've accomplished that was beyond measure for the Lord. But that's the natural requirement as a Christian, is to go beyond, go beyond, go beyond, go beyond. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is more than required of you, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
Now, an entire life, sacrificed, submitted, surrendered, yielded, turned over to God, is only a reasonable service. How much did the Lord do for me? For goodness sake, and I want to emphasize it. Put your goal higher than what's stated by the average.
Yeah.
Can you do it? Well, certainly so. You can be a David if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a Daniel if you desire. You could become an Abraham if you're willing to pay the price. Beloved, I do not believe that the Christian people of this day are any different than any other age in life.
That's right. Amen.
Now, I don't believe they're made up out of any other material than others were made of in past ages. But at the age of 16, Daniel determined to serve his God regardless.
Amen.
Well, you said, preacher, if I do, that'll cost him a job. Well, thank the Lord for it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. People are not willing to sacrifice, to serve, and to faith very much today for the cause of Christ, and especially preachers.
Mm-hmm.
Preachers, as a general rule, want everything coming their way and nothing going out.
Mm-hmm.
I won't charge you anything for that. Am I not telling you the truth?
Amen.
All right. Now then, let's look again. Because knowing the topo, that's the teaching. Isn't that right, Brother Hubbard?
Amen.
The meaning. of us is not in vain or empty or without effect in the Lord. The feelings of us. You know what? The feelings of the child of God are the best things in his life. Can you follow me a little while? Are you able to take it? The feelings that we receive as children of God are the best things for us. Lord said to Peter, Satan desired to have thee that he might sift thee as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Well, I'll tell you right now, somebody knows, needs to know what a sifting is, so they help the rest of us.
Right.
Understand? The feelings that we receive in life, in the Lord's work, are the things that are for our good and for our betterment as Christians. The perfume isn't realized until the petal is crushed. You can't smell it until it's been crushed. Well, thank the Lord. And the things, the dealings in the Lord are effective. With whom? The Lord. When the Lord can see my sacrifice, similarly to that of his own, he's honored. When he can see my suffering that compares remotely to that of his own, it's a glory to him. Our sufferings are the joy of our God. You read the life of the Apostle Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter. All right, our feelings, they're not in vain. When you forget them, why, a thousand times, no. You know why God Almighty draws his Son to the right hand? Because he endured everything under the sun on earth.
Right.
I look at it that way. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. He placed an example for me and you in suffering here on earth. Birds of the air have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. Trials, difficulties, on every hand. He didn't promise us a life of feather beds and fried chicken in the ministry. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. That's what he promised. He didn't promise us a life of ease. Folks get in the ministry today to think, well, by the way, that's an easy job. Look how tight my life is. And if that's your idea of the ministry, God have mercy on you. I wish you'd resign and get out. There's no place in the ministry today for drones. Dead people. And people that are too selfish to serve the Lord. The ministry requires soldiers that can endure suffering. And he commands us to endure suffering as good soldiers. Good soldiers very seldom gripe about it. Is that right, Brother Madden?
He's right, and goes on.
Okay. Good soldiers that take it in stride and keep going. Well, you know what? That's exactly the way it is in the Lord. And the more your sufferings are, the more your feelings are, the more feelings that you have, the greater your joy should be. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Goodness, Sam Hill wants to be like the person that's spoken in the law all the time and religion that nobody else wants it. I don't. If it's going to make us everlasting bad off, then it disfigures him. Doesn't have a life. And I don't think the Lord offers that kind to you. The Lord offers the kind that in all circumstances there's happiness, there's joy, there's pleasure, there's jubilee to the believer in Christ. No, it isn't in vain. It is vain. Lord bless you.